We are in the book of Kings, and you have seen tonight, I have titled this sermon as Walking in the Ways of the Lord. And so there is no less than this in the call that God has made on our lives. He called us to walk in His ways and not in any other ways. As I've just said, to walk by faith and not by sight. And God will not accept anything less than that. Anything less than that, we are to come and cry out to Him and ask Him, Lord, help us to walk in Your ways. For of course, we will drift because that is what we are capable of doing as fallen creatures. It's only through the work of the Holy Spirit and by God's grace that we walk as He wants. And no one can do it in their own strength. But the norm and the standard is to walk in the ways of the Lord. That was the standard He made clearly. This is not just an assumption or maybe. No. The covenant He has made with them, He gave them instructions on how to live and what to believe. You see, the first commandment, to love the Lord God with all of your heart and all of your strength and might and soul. And other one like the first one, just simply because they have to come in order, but exactly like the one, because number one is not like number two, but it's the same thing. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And He gave them ordinances. You shall not kill, shall not murder, shall not testify falsely, shall not commit adultery. All these things, God has said this. He is expecting us to do these things. And we know the Old Testament people, they try to do that. But in the New Testament, the Lord has enabled us, and He made it clear through the creation of the new birth in us, the new nature that is in us, if we take up the means of God's grace in our lives, we will grow in holiness and godliness, and we will reject sin more and more. You see, we become sensitive to sin because we are growing in our knowledge of Christ, in our intimate relationship with Him. And even with that, we still can fall. But if we confess our sin, the Bible says, He is faithful and He will cleanse us from every stain. We have an account of Kings. We have been on the book of Kings for a long time. And we thank God that He has led us there. Because in that accounts, in those accounts of the kings, we learned about God's character, His expectations. We have seen His grace even on these kings, even when they were not doing the right thing. Still, He decided. That is the unusual move of God, His divine purposes, His wisdom, that we can never assume that we know it altogether. But He's a free God. He chooses to bless when He should not be blessing, isn't it? That is why we see sometimes someone who have gone badly, and yet God reaching out to them, you see, and bringing them back. So we have an account of a king here in chapter 16, a king of Judah. We had few kings from the north, and now we have a king from the south. In the 17th year of Pekah, son of Remaliah, Ahaz, son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. Unlike David, his father, he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord, his God. This is what I want to stop to make a comment on. He did not walk in the ways of the Lord, his God. It's not a God of his forefathers. That is his God that was expecting him to walk with him. That the God that who is the God of his father David is his God too. You see, it's not the God of his forefathers. It's not the God of the patriarchs. It's his personal God. You see, so God was expecting him to stay in this covenant and to walk before him. But he didn't do that. It is his personal God. It's God who loves him. It's God who cares for him. It's God who has made covenant with him. Because that was what really the Israelites are saying. That God didn't make this covenant with our forefathers. He has made it with us. So it's with us even this generation. And I heard Professor Alan Harmon, he was speaking about a passage in the Old Testament, and he said the Old Testament history is our history, we, the Christians, ourselves, because this is the God of the Old Covenant, is the law, is the God of the New Covenant, is our God. And so what the Old Testament is doing here is giving us really the clue and insight into how God worked with his own people. You see, his standard, his grace revealed, his character more and more revealed as a faithful God. So the first things, this God, you should call him my God. You see, and when you are displeasing him, you are displeasing your God. You know, it's not a God of your parents. He might be. Maybe your parents are Christian, but it's your God if you have come to believe in him and you have believed in Christ. So this man, he did the wrong things. He went after the things of this world and the ways of the kings around them. So even he went to the extremes by passing his son through fire, a ritual that the people of his time, the other nations, they were doing. That was detestable to God, detestable ways of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. You see, God himself, he punished these people. Why would you want to go and imitate a people like this? You see, even for us here today, is a clear example of we have been brought out of the kingdom of Satan, isn't it? From the world, and we were brought into a fellowship with Christ. He has set us free. He has saved us, and he wants us to walk before him. You see, and not to go and do exactly the same things we were part of, even the things of those who hate Christ are doing. You see, and so to be part of these things, and so exactly that is what these people were doing. This King Ahaz was like trying to be friend, and then to go back and to practice really practices that really brought God anger and drove these people before them and gave them their life, their lands as inheritance. So now what we need to see, when someone does not walk in the ways of the Lord, what happens when someone does not walk with the Lord? Because this man, he offers sacrifices and burn incense at the high places on the hilltops and under every spreading tree in defiance of God. So what happens? How do these people live, or how do they act when they depart from their God and what they do? So in verse 5, you see, the Rezin king of Aram and Pekah, sons of Remaliah, king of Israel, march up to fight against Jerusalem and besiege Ahaz. You see, so the enemies now are coming. They are active, wanting to defeat him. But by God's grace, they could not overpower him. And that time, Rezin king of Aram recovered part of the land that the Israelites really had conquered. And so that was just a mercy from God. But now we see when someone is not walking with God, that even that which he gained will be taken from them. You see? Even that which that he gained will be taken. You know, that is what is happening here with this man. He didn't really... So he is losing what he was given to him by God. And so he didn't protect his heritage, inheritance. At that time, this man, so he recovered all these things, and Edomites then moved into Elath and have lived there to this day. So that's gone. So that is what happened. The other thing also happens, we observed, as this man was not, his heart was not with God. And so this is what happens. Ahaz, so he will now seek alliance with other people, other kings, who are supposed to be enemies of God. And I heard a little bit about, not a lot about alliance with the things, the people of the world. It's really a serious thing for God's people to do. And so the moment you get yourself into alliance, whether it's business, it's friendship, that is so deep. And so that is not without a heavy price that a person will pay. It's just so incredible. And so because the enemy is envious, even the things that will look like an alliance, that will look like there is a benefit for you in that, but actually the loss is greater than even the benefit, even if there is any. There is nothing. So now he's moving now to solve his problems, like what I said earlier, like when I was preaching to these people. When someone is stuck with his problems, you see, the easy way out is like to find means that even are not holy before God. And so that is why Christians should not gamble, isn't it? Because in gambling, some people think like if I win millions, that will pay my bills, will put me really. So a Christian, someone who has professed Christ, should not do that. And I know also, even us, it's easy to say something, but it's a bondage also. When the moment they get to that, they got addicted, and then they can't come out from that. Need a super breaking power of Jesus Christ to break them, that, and bring them out. You see, and then they could see clearly that is a destructive pathways. And a person in that state can never have the freedom of the Holy Spirit, even cannot serve Jesus. So this man Ahaz sent messengers to say to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, I am your servant. When this king of Judah, king of God's people, become a servant of the king of other nations. Always, if you see that, is when God's people are weak, you see, and they come under the, really, these people. So he said, I am your servant, a vessel. Let me grab my. When he says, like, I am your vessel, saying, I am your son. Just imagine, I am your son. That is what he's saying. Yeah. I am your servant, I am your son, subordinating himself to this king who is not of God's people. And so this is how he will go low. And that we see this. Even Jacob, when he was fearful of his brother, that was what he did always. So that is what fear does. You see, you come out of your right position. You present yourself to be something lower than what your God is expecting you to be. You see. So he did that part. And then he said, come up and save me out of the hand of the king of Aram and of the king of Israel who are attacking me. So we have seen that the king of Israel made an alliance with the king of Syria to fight Judah. You see, even like the king of Israel went to the extreme to join with the enemy to fight their brothers in the south. Yeah, so it's just like allying yourself with Buddhists and Muslims against your Christian brothers. You see? when they are attacking. And then because we are in Australia, we live in a very nice place. You see, we are not seeing these attacks. Just go to India and go to Gujarat and you see the mass killing of Christians by the Buddhists, by the Hindus. And then you picture yourself like a section of a church that is so big because this denomination is not like us. And then we, so basically this is what is doing. The king of the north and the king of Assyria, they made alliance and then they come and save me. And Ahaz took the silver and gold, and so he will be using all the things that God has given him as a gift to the king of Assyria. You see, God's things are being taken to be used. Then the king of Assyria complied by attacking Damascus and captured it. He deported its inhabitants to Kir and put Rezin to death. Then King Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser, verse 10. He saw an altar in Damascus. And now he will change the cultic system of his own people to be after the cultic system of this people, nation. You see, so he is going to change everything in the temple to be in accordance with the worship system of these nations. And so that is what happened. So here aligns with enemies, territory is taken, you see. And now the system, the worship system is changed, is altered completely. It's just like visiting another church that you don't know whether are standing in the word, in truth. And then you want to come and you want to do exactly like what they are doing. You see, even if practices that are against the word of God, just simply because it was looking good, will keep you comfortable and nice and happy. So like that. So Rezin, so this man, Ahaz, he went to the extreme and certainly he didn't do what was right before the Lord. And now we see why we must say this. Has any the New Testament has anything to say about this, about not walking the ways of the Lord and making alliance with the people of this world? God has not changed, isn't it? The system is the same. The demand is the same. So Apostle Paul picked it up in readings. That is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. That is what we picked up also. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. You see, and particularly, like, maybe in the Old Testament, like, it was so clear that there was a great divide, you see. And then in the New Testament, it's not that clear because Apostle Paul was speaking to a church. And then he was speaking specifically about people in the church who are not really believers. Because he said, if he is asking us to come out of the world, to come out from the unbelievers, that means we need to get out of this world, isn't it? So clearly. But we take this as even as God's people here, also the principle applies, isn't it? You know, whatever is looking as someone who is not walking in the ways of the Lord, so these words applies to them, that we should not have any intimacy or a fellowship with them, to be yoked, to live in covenant with, so no whatsoever. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Because these are the basis on which people come together, isn't it? Friendship, you like those who thinks like you are friends, especially when you make friendship, even within Christendom. Also, we align ourselves with those who have the same belief with us, isn't it? And we are called to be kind to others who are not, maybe not necessarily having our conviction. But definitely we are not to go deeper in our mission, in the things that we want to do. And that is what Apostle Paul is talking about. And it's something, if we look back to Ahaz was not doing something like that, isn't it? And he was raised up to lead God's people. And God of Abraham was his God. That is why the Bible says he didn't do what is right in the sight of God of the Lord his God. And so now this is what is happening. So no, nothing in common that should bring people together. It should be only on the basis of our salvation and also our love for the Lord Jesus Christ and our commitment to his mission, like the Great Commission, you see, and also the purity of his church, the oneness of his body. These are the things that should make us join with others. So regardless of the color of their body, of their skin, you see, or the level of their education, you see, these are not the basis on which people really should have a strong alliance. And I know there are a lot of things being stirred up in Australia at the moment, especially among the migrant communities. So things are really stirred up. So we have a situation, we need to pray for this young woman, a South Sudanese young woman. She is very bright, and she was on the news. She shared in the past about her faith. She's a prominent lawyer, Nyadol, and so she did human rights law. And she had a medal, a high-class medal in Australia. So she interacted with the minister of maybe immigration or something like that. Alan Touch, was he like that? Oh, he was a prominent politician before he had problems. And so this lady, the thing she was saying, because she studied her field very well, she said, we cannot use, because now as a migrant, you can never be a citizen of Australia if you do not pass the test. Even if you have a business that has like $10 million, because a lot of permanent residents do not have citizenship. And then just living here like for 10, 20 years, 30 years, having made the fortune and also like made the system rich with your tax and things like that, and then if you can't pass your English test, then you can never be an Australian citizen. So she was saying English is like one of the languages that Australians are speaking in Australia. And so to make it as a condition for someone to become a citizen of this country, and so that is a gross, really violation of their human rights. You see? And that has dropped a bomb, because some people are so very powerful, they want to keep Australia like it was, when actually God is doing something. Like, as Christian, we need to capture this, isn't it? We as Christian, we need to capture this. So we should make every minute an opportunity for us to proclaim Jesus Christ. Because obviously, no, you don't have a permanent country. You are a steward, isn't it? I was driven from my country because of my sin, obviously, but who knows, maybe we will be driven too again because of our sin from this beautiful land, isn't it? And God's land is beautiful, isn't it? And I tell you what, a lot of Europeans also, they want to be permanent resident in the countries they want to live in. But they are driven out also. They were given condition. Unless maybe your skin has to be like an African, you can't be here, isn't it? So it's human condition. It's everywhere. So this woman now, she just opened all these sort of things for herself. You see, So I was just praying for her because she confessed that she's a Christian and she was doing that. So it's just something like this, isn't it? We have something like this. So how do we associate ourselves with people? See, so it's a clear question for us. And as Christian, you need to be strong enough to be able to do this, to cross culture, to make alliance with someone who is exactly believing in what you believe, even if they don't look like you. And so here Apostle Paul said, what harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with another, with an unbeliever? An unbeliever here is the one who doesn't believe in Christ. You see, it's not just unbeliever. Because someone would say, I have a faith. You see, the Muslim have faith and everybody has a belief. You see, so not just a believer, just a believer in Christ. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? You see, so this man, he came and he made just his temple as just exactly looking like of the nations around them. For we are the temple of the living God ourselves. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them. Do you think God can walk through idols? Can God really receive a worship that is clouded with fear and things of this world and strong political opinions and just seeing this world as your permanent place and you want to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ at the same time? Not possible. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit to grip us and to give us the right focus and the right way of life. And so that we will be really ought to many people when we present Christ. And that is the type of faith that Christ will use to reveal his power. So we live with a lot of people, even with our families, we are unable even to save them. You see? But maybe we have a strong views in ourselves. Maybe we are drifting in our thinking. Maybe we are making alliance with other kings. You see? So we become powerless, impassionate about the salvation of others. So all sorts of things like this. May the Lord grant us real grace to search our hearts and to think like really, because the power is there, the grace is there for the Lord to use. Therefore, come out from them and be separate. We heard this a lot, like yesterday, the prayer meeting, there was a section about separation. You see, separation to the Lord. You see, so that the Lord may use us. And be separate, saith the Lord. Touch no unclean things, and I will receive you. So the condition is like when we are conscious about these ways that will make our walk with him really hard going, so we may bring them to the Lord. You see, and then the Lord will help us. I will be a father to you, and you will be my son. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates. And certainly, Ahaz was contaminated so much, alliance with foreign kings. You see, he changed the temple worship, you see, and then he just departed from God, from the Lord his God. It is easy for us to depart from the Lord our God. And the Lord is Jehovah, Yahweh, the Lord who has brought us into a fellowship with him. And he wants us to seek him and to love him because he has loved us. And he wants to use us as instruments for his own glory. He wants to display his patience through us, his love, his kindness, his richness, his light, and everything through us. We to enrich others, you see, if we keep ourselves in him and trusting him in his word and rejecting alliance with other kings. Let us stop there. Let us rise together and sing. When we walk with the Lord. I think we sang it also in the newer church today, which was really good. And I think when we walk with the Lord, actually, he will bless us. And so we separate ourselves from the things that are entangling unbelief, the things of this world. And so may the Lord grant us that really we have, I always say this to people. So if you see yourself unable really to do what the Lord wants, just even the smallest desire for in your heart to please God, he will take hold of that. And he will use it to bring you to a place of intimate relationship with him.